You see, my life is totally different than it was a year ago. And I want to tell you that story. I think that sometimes we can encourage each other best by things God has done for us. And oftentimes, it's what he's doing for you or will do for you, it has done for you, and it allows you to celebrate that too. Thank you for choosing His Eyes on the Sparrow, Doug. That's a perfect song to go with what I'm saying. That was, I know God did that, but you went ahead with it. Last year at this moment in time, I was broken, just like the shards of the vase that we did a few weeks ago and we wrote notes of encouragement and we'll put it back together. I was broken. I was broken by my emotions that were tattered. My mind was spinning. My spirit was broken and my hope was gone. And if you know me, you know that I always have hope. That's one thing God's given me, is hope, even when in the storm, but it was gone. Real encouraging way to start in a little devotional on encouragement, isn't it? But if you remember Paul Harvey, in Paul Harvey's words, let me tell you the rest of the story. If Jesus is Lord, nothing is secular. Have any of you ever heard that before? If Jesus is Lord, nothing is secular. Where I went to college, the president used to say that to us many times. And I have lived this. I worked in the secular world. My career was with people, not people of God necessarily, but people. And I learned that not only did God bless me with an amazing career that I would have never guessed, never chosen for myself, but by giving me that career, he used me for his glory to give people things that they needed. My first job was actually at Vancouver Memorial Hospital back in 1972. Mr. Dave Davis over here hired me for my first job. Thank you, Dave. Had to work night shift, but there you go. I was a very shy, very sheltered 20-year-old who now was working the emergency room night shift. And Trey, I know you know what I'm talking about. That is not the place for somebody to remain sheltered. But it was an interesting job, and I started to grow. By the time I'd been there 10 years, I was now the wage and benefits manager in the personnel department. And that led me to work with the people who were doing retirement planning for our employees. And through a number of things, it became real clear that that was what God wanted me to do. So for the next 28 years of my life, I was a retirement planner. I was that person who would come to your facility and do the group meetings to try to explain how to put money aside for retirement. Maybe you wanted to hear that, maybe you didn't, but that's what I would do. And then I would sit down with people individually and help them know how much to put aside, what could they afford, what was the best way to invest it, and so forth. It was amazing, and I loved it. I'm one of the minority, I know, that gets to do what they love to do. And I loved it because God trusted me with this. He gave me the tools. He gave me the knowledge, the expertise, and I got the licenses and all of that that was necessary. So as part of that, whether I was in a hospital or a public entity or a 401k for profit, it didn't matter. I was making relationships with people. And ultimately, in many cases, it allowed people to retire earlier. And you would say, oh, well, is that really such a good thing? Yes. Because it gave them time. The only creator of time is God, right? And how many times have you talked to somebody who's coming toward the end of their life and they just wanted more time? This was God's way of allowing me to help people have that more time. Maybe the time was spent with friends and family. Maybe the time was doing something they'd always wanted to do. Maybe that time was time for him to work on them, and they ultimately gave their life to him. That's a pretty great calling, if you ask me. Unfortunately, it also came with some stresses. I traveled a lot. I started to figure out how many hundreds of thousands of miles over the 28 years? And I just went, no, I don't want to know. I started to figure out how many hundreds to thousand, maybe more nights away I was in hotels. I don't care. But that time I was gone made it harder on Matt and the kids. I missed birthdays, I missed anniversaries, I missed family and friends' funerals, but I was doing what God wanted me to do. Once in a while, I would beg him to release me, but he didn't do it. And then suddenly, 6 years ago, in November 2010, someone else made that decision. It was a downtime in the economy. I was of the more advanced salary. I cost a lot. I was a liability. And my job was eliminated. And a lot of you walked through that time with me, and that was a hard time. It was a growing time. Thank you for your encouragement and your prayers and your investment in me during that time. And it paid off because 8 months later, not only did I get a job, I was hired back into the same company. Well, what that means in today's world, I had the same benefits. I went back with 5 weeks of vacation. I went back with my pension plan, which is not something that the average person has. And I said, thank you, God. I knew that, again, I was where he wanted me to be. I was a great addition to the team that I'd been hired at. I was no longer in sales. I was no longer traveling. I wasn't having to drive 50 or 100 or 200 miles to commute. I got to do 20 feet to commute because I worked from home. So that was good. And at the beginning, it was just what I needed. As time went on, though, of course, as we know, the better we get at things, the more that is asked of us and the more that we're given. And I was getting very tired of doing the most complex, the most difficult cases. There was no joy. My hours were extremely long. Matt would leave at 6 in the morning and come home at 5:30 at night, and I was still sitting in front of my desk, in front of the computer, not really sure how many more hours I had ahead of me, and I knew tomorrow was the same. So by last year at this time, I found myself doing things I don't do, such as cry. Not generally someone who cries. I would sit here in church over there and cry through most of the service. Why? Because I was broken. I had to go back to work the next day, and I didn't know how long it was going to take me to do everything I needed to get done in that week. There was no hope. Well, obviously something had to change. And last year, the day of Sunday of men's retreat, Matt came home to a wife, not that was crying during the service, but that had cried all day long. I didn't know where to turn. I'm crying out to God, what can I do? I don't have a clue, but it became really clear through friends saying the same words I would say to my clients, but I couldn't hear those anymore. I hadn't remembered them. There were things from before, and I went, Janet had words come out of her mouth that I said, I used to say that. I forgot that. What a gift. And that opened it up so that then I could go and start to look at my options. And of course, as you all know, my options were, yes, I could retire. But there's more to the story, and I won't go into that now, but it was at God's perfect time. Because sometimes people will tell you, you weren't listening, or you were doing what you want. No, that wasn't true. It wasn't God's perfect time. And I truly believe in the darkness that we can do everything we're doing, and we have to keep going. We're not disobedient. It just isn't the right time. And if you are there, please take encouragement from that. Maybe God has something else he's working on, and you just need to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Well, my time came. I could retire, and now I am living the dream. Why? Because I have time. Time to do things that I couldn't do all those years that I was working. I get time to spend with people we love. I get time to spend with our chosen moms. You know, we both have lost our mom many, many years ago, but we both chose moms within this congregation. Matt chose Margie. I chose Cleone. I think he's a little envious of the days when he comes home and I'm like, do you know what I got to do with Marty today? Do you know what Cleone and I did and where we went? And he's, but his day's coming, so that'll be good. I'm calling this my year of discovery. I'm really appreciative of the career that he provided for me because things that I learned to do, that's exactly what I'm doing now. I learned to give group meetings and be comfortable with that. And I get to do that now. I got to do that at Women's Retreat. I'm getting to do that today. This is a gift. And I get to spend time individually with people. You know, another one of my places that I like to go, and I bet most of you would say you don't like it, are hospitals. How many like to go to hospitals? Anybody? Yeah, no. Brenda does. Why? Probably for the same reason I do. She worked in one. She's comfortable there. I have a history of people. I can go, Arden will tell you this, when I get to go with him to pray with people, I'll run into people at Peace Health that were clients or what have you, they may be retired, and it is fun. And half the time we spend it just talking about the Lord. So I'm digressing, but it's a gift. It's wonderful. If Jesus is Lord, nothing is secular. My secular career has brought me now to where I can give back to him and hopefully continue to bring people to him. But by doing one of my favorite things I've learned is praying. You know, my grandma was a prayer warrior, and probably very few of you knew my grandma, but she was an amazing prayer warrior. And I thought, wow, how do you get to that point? It is a privilege and an honor when friends of mine call me their prayer warrior. And I think, it's not me, it's him. Thank him for that. I feel like my title has changed. I'm no longer a road warrior. I'm now that prayer warrior. And it's my favorite title to so far to date. I liken my working career, if you will, to the children of Israel when they were wandering around the wilderness, except they got out after 40 years. It took me 43. Yeah, some people are slower. But I love the words. Did I get that? Nope. Try it again. Deuteronomy 2:7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done, speaking to the children of Israel. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. Yep. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have not lacked a thing. So true. Although there were times I was in darkness, I was discouraged, I was in a pit of despair, my spirit was broken, God was with me, and I did not lack a thing. He was working on the solution. Whether or not I could feel him, whether or not you can feel him, we can trust him to be with us each moment. I went to a fairly new college. It was called at that time Trinity Junior College in Langley, BC. It was the Evangelical Free Church, a smaller school, if you will. Big T, Big Trinity, was back east or Midwest. And they put Trinity Junior in Canada. Dr. Cal Hansen was the president there. And he would often join us for chapel. And if he wasn't saying, what is it? If Jesus is Lord, nothing is secular. He would say, don't doubt in the dark. Thank you for keeping track of me. What God has told you in the light. Have you ever heard me say that? I bet some of you have heard me say this before, because this is my lifelong motto. Don't doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. So many times we question ourselves when it gets dark, and we don't need to do that, because he's already told us what we need to do and what he will give us. So my year, this last year, has been a year of renewal of hope. What a gift. A year of healing and a year of discovery. I know there's challenges ahead. I recognize that. But I'm encouraged, and I want you to be encouraged, that he's blessed me like he wants to bless you and is blessing you beyond anything that you could ask or think or hope for. He wants the best for us. If you were here last week, you heard Rob Woodard speak of the importance of encouraging one another. And he likened it to the big X and the little X. And oftentimes, we encourage people, maybe it's not a big deal to us, but to them it meant everything. And once in a while, they even come back to us and say, do you remember when? And we go, oh yeah. And how important it is when they do that, and it's a big X to them, that we need to be welcoming and realize this is important and not act all like, oh, it's no big deal, because it is a big deal. And they are willing to share that with us. And in closing, I want to share a story that happened at the end of Bible school. You know, I haven't worked in Bible school for years, and I happened to do that this year, and so I ended up being here the last night. And I was in the kitchen just tidying up. It was pretty well ready to go, and things were packed. And a couple came in the door, and they heard the words that I've heard a few times before. Sandy, do you remember us? Yep, I did. He was a pharmacist at one of the hospitals. It was my case. And it was his wife that was with him. And Greg and Nancy said, we talk about you all the time. Now, I bet there's some of you, if I said, we talk about you all the time, your eyes would get big, and you wouldn't like that, right? But I knew what it meant. In my profession, it means we couldn't have done what we did without your help. And so it's a great compliment. And of course, I was so grateful to hear that. It was fun to see them and to reconnect. But when I found out that there was more to the story, that Greg has cancer, I realized how big of an X this was. This means that not only did they retire maybe earlier than they thought, they have more time together than they may have had they not done what I knew God wanted them to do. So that was a great gift to them from the Lord to be able to tell me and for me to be able to hear that and share that with them. I'd like you to be encouraged that God is faithful to keep his promises. In Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Since I was a child, I've always believed that if we delight ourselves